Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for special needs. Voted number 1 in special needs by Old Schoolhouse magazine the first year it released, this curriculum helps you teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR to save on resources for your home or school.
It's always a little bit creepy whenever a large conglomerate of a bunch of big Fortune 500 companies come together and start to dictate bathroom policies.
More and more, God's word is showing up less and less in evangelical preaching.
Every person is going to see something wrong with their pastor. Now, why has the Lord let you see that wrong thing about your pastor? The answer is so that you can pray for them.
Every sin is a form of unbelief, where we do not believe that God's going to take care of us like he takes care of the birds in the air and the flowers in the field.
This is Chaplain Colonel Philip Hauser calling to say that all Christian patriots love doing push-ups while listening to Issues, etc. Carry on.
It's a little known secret that one of the fastest growing places for Lutheran theology and for the Reformation in 2017 is not Northern Europe, it's not the United States, it's not any place in the Northern Hemisphere. In fact, it's very far south of us, and it's usually found on the continent of Africa. And we're going to be talking about Lutheranism in South Africa with Dr. Wilhelm Weber. Greetings and welcome to Issues, etc. Day 4 from the Old Latin School in Wittenberg, Germany. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our conversation with Dr. Wilhelm Weber about Lutheranism in South Africa, we'll talk with Dr. Mark Mattis about Martin Luther on beauty. Dr. Eric Herman will join us to talk about that famous writing of Martin Luther, The Babylonian Captivity of the Church, and then we'll discuss Renaissance humanism, which figures beautifully in with the discussion of the Reformation, and Luther's early Reformation with Dr. Timothy Dost. Joining us on this Thursday afternoon, August the 3rd, to talk about Lutheranism in South Africa, Dr. Wilhelm Weber. He's rector of Lutheran Theological Seminary in Pretoria, South Africa. Dr. Weber, welcome back to Issues, etc.
Thank you very much, Todd. I'm happy to be here.
You speak with a German accent. How would you respond to someone who says that Lutheran theology is German, that it's a better fit with Europeans?
Yeah, I think an answer to that is already, you see how it is really very poorly represented around Wittenberg here. We hear less than 5%, and down there in Africa, you talk about places like Tanzania, Kenya, Ethiopia, Madagascar, with big churches, millions coming up close and growing very fast too. So I think they are not just normally Lutheran, but also really doctrinally. And I think they see that the theology of Luther fits theirs. And if I say theology of Luther, I of course mean confessional. If we look at the small catechism which was used to educate most of those people in the confirmation classes for ages already, that has really shown them that it is a biblical teaching. It's not so much just Luther's, but bringing back the light of the gospel here in Germany then, in 500 years ago, and now across the globe. It's sad at the conference now to see very few people from Africa, actually. There's another colleague from Zimbabwe, and myself, who's talking with such a German accent and is not really a South African in the sense of being Zulu or Tswana. But we've been there fifth generation now, and so we think that our strength down there really comes from the unity of all these different parts of the church, complementing what the richness of God's church really should be looking like, bringing many other aspects as well to the table again.
Mm-hmm. How would you describe the theological state of Lutheranism in South Africa today?
Now, I think we are under siege, I would say. It is a lot of reason to want to accommodate and fit into the general picture. We are just, if I would use the words inclusivity, if I would use also the words of which does not really work with our exclusive view that we can only be saved through Jesus Christ. We have a old president, Mbeki, who was advocating African Renaissance, meaning a return to the ancestral faiths. And the percentage of Christians has dropped from 80, 20 years ago to now about something around 60 dropping. And that might also be that many people were disillusioned with the church, especially the Reformed Church, which had a very strong affinity to apartheid. And so when that was discarded, the people also discarded the faith and teaching. I think the Lutheran faith with two kingdoms really fits in well, and it shows also that this is not so much an issue which the government can lay down what we believe, but really it is more important to believe what God says than what men say, yes. And so there are lots of reasons why people now look at the Lutheran Church for guidance and light, yeah.
You had mentioned the indigenous ancestral religions. Describe those for us. What kind of religions are these?
See, Roman Catholic and Anglicans actually try to incorporate that with our belief in saints. But you know, we as Lutherans here, especially also even at this conference, we are reminded of that again, that we don't give them any mediatory role. We don't also venerate them in that sense that we expect help from them. But in the African context, people expect the ancestors really to do the serious work of helping you on a daily basis. God is far away. He is does not know me, really. It's very much like you had in the Middle Ages and Reformation time. And so the ancestor, especially those who were closest to me and those who were powerful in life, are able to help me even when they are dead, because they are actually the dead people who are alive. It's not, and they have just passed on. They are still with us in that sense. So this is a family business. That means also that people would, if I like a German, would fall out of this picture, because these spirits would not have a place in Africa. If you look at one of the big new monuments in South Africa, Independence Park, it is situated between the Union buildings and the parliamentary buildings in the middle, and that's where all the spirits of Africans were who have been deceased were drawn by so-called traditional healers, traditional medicines, sangomas, nyangas, etc., and who have the gift with branches and their various rites to draw these spirits there, who have been placed there. And they are sort of like a barrier between the old Boer Voortrekker monument and the existing parliament. So this is a very real and concept, which also is shown when our President Zuma, when the ANC, that's the ruling government party, convenes, he will slaughter lots of cattle as an offering to the ancestors so that they will bless the coming meeting. This is now something which Roman Catholics and Anglicans are sort of trying to fit in with their old way of intercession to this through the saints. And where we as Lutherans really have serious problems, because we see that as against the first commandment, also against the second and third one, of course. But so there is a very great conflict in this kind. And it does not, if you know that our present president Zuma is very much African along those lines, because he has got five wives. Those are the ones he has legally. The other ones are divorced from him or already. So those issues really show that there's a tendency to fall further and further away from the traditional Christian view and outlook. And people are encouraged, of course, by this way to wear pieces of animal skin from the sacrifices which they offer to the ancestors. You can see them at the gym or in public places. They will wear them full of pride and showing, see, I've done my obligation to the ancestors. And that is growing in Africa, where previously that was done in secret and hidden because you were ashamed of it. Now it is done again in the open. because our president is like that too.
So it's a thoroughly pagan, even in its political sense, a thoroughly pagan orientation.
Yes.
To this culture.
Yes, totally. And it is also, Mbeki tried to give it some philosophical credibility by saying we can only come back to the African roots if we go, and these go back to the ancestors because they are the roots which go into our mother ground and etc., etc. It is a pagan concept entirely.
So you had mentioned that you, as non-African, not even though fifth generation, that you would not be seen as included in any of this. Your ancestral spirits would be elsewhere. Are Western people, even no matter how far back their heritage goes in South Africa, and especially Christianity, are they seen as intruders into this culture and society and religion?
Yes, I think from the very beginning it was seen as if the white people were not subject to the rulings of the ancestors. That means their health and their wealth and their prosperity and flourishing did not depend on their offerings to the ancestors. Whereas a black man's health, wealth and prosperity, etc., was always then blamed on his relation to the ancestors. If things go well, obviously, if you were in power, if you're the president, obviously the ancestors are happy with you. But then when you fall away, like Mbeki did, then suddenly it changes, and it is very strange and for me quite incomprehensible how suddenly a guy who was so much in favor the one day, the next is absolutely gone from the window. And I think we as, I said as white people, but this is also perhaps a very superficial division, because I know of people, the brother of Gary Player, for instance, Ian Player, shows in his book Wilderness how he actually was converted to this African faith or this pagan worship through in his life. He was a Christian, I don't know what denomination, and then he was called by the ancestors to follow that, and so that is what he actually believes in when he died. I know Germans who sons of a professional hunter who trained as these traditional healers. That's another word for Sangoma. These guys walk barefoot because that's the contact in through the ground to the ancestors. They went through these rituals, and they believe firmly that only through this contact with the underworld, as we would say, really is the answer to Africa, because Africa needs African answers. And of course we believe that that is not so, because there is one God overall and not just a tribal or racial God or whatever.
Dr. Wilhelm Weber is our guest. We're talking about Lutheranism in South Africa. On the other side of the break, we'll discuss how Lutheranism came to South Africa and what the greatest challenges facing it today are on this Thursday, August the 3rd, broadcasting from the Old Latin School of Wittenberg, Germany. We're talking about Lutheranism in South Africa. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation with the new Martin Luther plush figure. It features the 16th century reformer holding the Bible and Luther's morning and evening prayers. Go to reformationgear.com, use the coupon code ISSUESETC, and 20% of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. reformationgear.com. The new Martin Luther plush figure, reformationgear.com, and enter the coupon code ISSUESETC.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Who is the Holy Spirit? Will there be animals in heaven? How can parents raise Christian children in a hostile culture? This month, find faithful, Bible-based answers to tough theological questions when you subscribe to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's flagship magazine, The Lutheran Witness. Visit cph.org/try-Lutheran-witness to get 6 issues for only $6.99. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Ever attended an Issues Etc. conference or any number of events that take place across the Synod and wondered why more people from your congregation aren't there? Then check out the special seminar package the CLCC is offering for the 500th anniversary. All you need so your circuit can prepare, promote, and present a seminar that will appeal to all the members of your congregation, provided for free by the CLCC. Just go to theclcc.org, theclcc.org, and click on the blue box, or check us out on Facebook.
Hello, I'm Pastor Daniel Quinn, Senior Pastor of Living Word Lutheran Church, The Woodlands, Texas, inviting you to join us for divine service on Sundays at 8:15 or 11 a.m. Living Word is located at 9500 North Panther Creek Drive in The Woodlands, a community about 30 miles north of Houston. That's Living Word Lutheran Church, where we proclaim the living word of Christ, that all who hear may walk in newness of life.
I bet you didn't know that the teaching of Latin in schools is making a comeback. Latin? Really? Isn't that a dead language? Well, take a look at what studies say about how well Latin students do on a test like the SAT. Memoria Press's Latin program will revolutionize your students' vocabulary, knowledge, and their understanding of grammar. And there is no better subject for teaching critical thinking skills. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Lutheranism in South Africa on this Thursday afternoon, August the 3rd, from the Old Latin School in Wittenberg, Germany. Dr. Wilhelm Weber, rector of the Lutheran Theological Seminary in Pretoria, South Africa, is our guest. So how did Lutheranism come to South Africa? What's the history there?
It goes back right to the beginning. In the beginning, Lutheran pastors were called by the settlers to help them. They were reformed. And there was a surplus of Lutheran pastors in Germany, etc. And they were called. They did not promote Lutheranism in that sense so much. So confessional Lutherans came in a bit later. We would say also they were and at various stages throughout. Many times, especially like the Hermannsburg, who were practically the last of these mission waves, they actually wanted to go to Ethiopia. And in Ethiopia, they could not get through because in Mombasa, the Muslim ruler at that time did not grant them entry. And so they turned around and wanted to return back to Germany because there was no way that they could actually go to their goal to serve the Omoro people, whom Louis Harms had identified as the traditional Saxons of Africa. That was, of course, in cooperation with other Lutheran and Christian missions in Africa. Harms' idea was getting a Lutheran coverage from east to west, something like Cecil John Rhodes trying to go from a road from Cape to Cairo. But now when they went back and on their way home, a missionary apostled in South Africa from the Berlin missions, a unionistic mission, they asked the Germans to stay. They said, why do you go back to Germany? There's lots of work here. You can help us. And they were then sent into the Zulu kingdom at that time. It was around the 1850s. And they all these places which had been traditionally still been very much in the control of the Zulu king, or up in the Tswana regions where the Boers were in control, they called for the Germans Lutherans, because they knew about their distant relationship to politics, that there was a bit of a gap there. They did not want English people anymore, so they called for the Germans to serve amongst the Tswana. So the Hermannsburg people actually served in two different groups. And that was a very interesting start, because they, amongst the Tswana people, they had big tribal conversions. Literally thousands of people were converted with their chief, whereas in Zululand you had one or two. So the one was a bit the child of sorrow, the other one was the child of joy, as they used to say it. In the end, one of the chroniclers of the history of the Lutheran history said, well, we went to many places, but in the end we stayed only in one, and that was the one where we did not want to go, was South Africa. But Lutheranism was very much in these backwaters. That means also that it was the outlying areas. It was not the central places which the Anglicans or the Reformed controlled. It was really on the edges. And then also it was often between the fronts. I mentioned the Afrikaner people. They went in their war with the British. Some of the, in the Boer War, the German missionaries were interned. Then again, when the Zulus fought the British, the German missionaries were in between the lines. So it was always a bit of this inner tension. And the problem was, of course, when war broke out, the German missionaries fled. If they did not, they were killed. But if they fled, they fled to the English side. And that was also sort of showing to the Zulu people where they don't really belong to us. Although they were talking German, they were talking Zulu, and they were very distant to the English, they still fled to them sort of because that's where they sort of thought there would be safety for their families. So that is a bit of that story. After the democratization, I'm jumping quite a long time, this is more than 150 years ago, the move when the Hermannsburg people came in, and now after democratization, the Lutherans have come out sort of thing. The churches are quite significant in size and also in political significance, because quite a number of people in politics are Lutheran now, which previously was totally the domain of the Reformed people.
What role challenges did apartheid play in the spread of Lutheranism in South Africa?
Oh, I think that it is immense, and it is quite dramatic as well. Negative in the sense that it kept the people apart. I think I grew up in this time, and it is a thing which really goes deep. If you think about it, when I grew up, before I went to school, I could talk Setswana as a mother tongue. When I went, my father was then called to Natal, where they talk another language, Zulu, and I then joined boarding school, like all the children, and I lost that. Whereas previously I had been on a very close relationship on the mission station with the traditional Africans, now suddenly I was very distanced. My father tells the story of how, as a little boy, then the church elder came to get the church keys on Saturday to prepare the church for the next day, and I took the key and I threw it at his feet. This is just a black man, if I can say
a sign of disrespect.
Yes, a sign of disrespect. And it is he of course chastised me and also punished me, but the idea is that here as a child suddenly there's a sort of this shift. It was not conscious. I did not say these words as I'm saying them now, but that was sort of a reflection of how that worked. And it is that at school, the only black people we saw were the people who were helping in the kitchen or fetching the post or something like that with a bicycle. There were only white children, there were only white teachers, etc., etc. So on church days, of course, we were again at home where we worshipped with Africans there. But that just shows how in a personal life this also was really kept very much apart.
The Mandelan Revolution was a blessing and a curse, wasn't it, in some ways?
Yes. You know, I think it was a real blessing in that sense that it was a peaceful transition and that Mandela did not seek revenge. And I think also gave all of us actually hope that things would now turn better. I think he was a real, he was a real noble at heart. And it's also living, doing this interview now in Wittenberg, of course we know that that was facilitated because Russia fell apart and the wall had come down. And so suddenly the ANC didn't have the Russian support anymore. And so the South African government saw it as an opportunity to just have this internal solution and not being pushed by outsiders. And so I think that is also a great reason why the communist idea did not go through. Mandela very much brought in, was good friends with business again, and there was no persecutions, and there was no backlash or revenge or anything like that. So we even had the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, which I think really did a great deal to address the evils of the past and show a way forward. I think now, 2 decades afterwards, we face other issues which are very complicated, and it's easy for populists to now dig into this old reservoir of racism and hatred and trying to just play the blame game, etc., and just say it is the other. And I think we were very much beyond that already, that we were really cooperating. And I hope the people who want to work together are still in the majority.
So confessional Lutheranism in South Africa, can we say that it is still integrated racially and making further efforts at being fully integrated, at least as a church?
Yes, I do think so. I think a significant contribution is done by David Swaidi, who's a longstanding bishop of our church, and I think he does a lot to try and bring the people together. They're, especially the churches, even the Lutheran churches, have not integrated that. It is a question of money. It is some people say it's one of language, but we are working more and more in English. But we do share the same hymns, etc., etc., even if it is in a different language. I think the contribution of LSB is very helpful because we can all use a Lutheran hymnal, order of service, etc., etc., which we can all follow and which is faithful. But Dr. Zwaidi is also in that sense doing something significant in that he follows in the footsteps of Archbishop Christian Ikong in Nigeria and also Archbishop Walter Obare in Kenya, who were both the heads of the ILC parts of that of the African continent and also of the LWF, and the same sort of thing is now with David Swaidi, who was the head of the Lutheran Church in Southern Africa, that is a member of the ILC, and also is now the executive secretary of LUCSA, the Lutheran Community in Southern Africa.
How important is the ILC to Lutherans in South Africa, this association of confessional Lutheranisms, confessional Lutheran church bodies around the world?
You know, you can't even begin to stress the importance of this, but not only because it just keeps us in the loop of all the significant dialogues going on. Our world is changing so fast, and I'm not just talking about these new gene manipulations or whatever, or gender issues, or which really affect us as South Africans too very much. And it helps to know how do other people who have got the competency and abilities address these issues from a confessional basis. I think the teachers coming over to our seminary, like Professor Pless, Professor Nordling, Fikensha, who is there now and is often a guest here at Issues, they help us to see that this is not just an one-off idea from some local people, but that we really fit into a bigger picture. And as we train, also South Africa has become an attraction for many Africans across the continent. Also church-wise, it is important that we don't just give localized or even tribal addresses to certain contextual issues, but that we can find what is the church way of dealing with these things. And so not just for our leadership, but also for our members, it is very important to hear what is happening outside, because through our communication means we are connected to everyone across the globe already. And so we need to also share this connection with the faithful people across the globe.
Finally, what can you tell us about the training of pastors there in South Africa at Lutheran Theological Seminary?
Well, now you're getting to the heart of the matter here. Yeah, that's really something very exciting from my point of view, because God has opened doors which were closed very long. See, until the 1990s, we were very much isolated from the continent. I, as a South African, could not travel on my passport to many countries. Tanzania was closed for South Africans, for instance. But now I'm most welcome everywhere, Ethiopia, Uganda, Liberia, etc. And the same goes the other way around. Even as I speak, however, things are again changing because of the security situation worldwide. So we are, South Africa is being the target of huge migrations. You should know that 30 years ago, we were 27 million people. Now we are way beyond 60.
Wow.
And we've got a negative growth rate, but this comes through people not only from Zimbabwe. There are literally millions of Zimbabweans in South Africa, but Congolese, Ethiopians, etc. And there are 25,000 Mekane Jesus Lutherans in South Africa. There are big congregations of Congolese and other ethnic groups in South Africa who talk different languages, like Amharic or French or whatever, and they all somehow want to be accommodated. That is where we as a small church, we are as a whole, in the best days, we were 25,000. So that would in one shot double the amount if the plans work out of the Ethiopian church, that we really formalize our church fellowship and if those things really work well. But you can understand that with our little size, this is a very challenging prospect, not only for LCMS people to cooperate with a church which is 7 million people big, but also for us as a small group. How do we do this in a good and faithful and solid way? And therefore, it is good that we cooperate in these issues. Now, when we train this at the seminary level, we get to know people from across the continent and they get to know us, and there's a level of trust coming up. It's not only we training them, I mentioned the professors already. So there is suddenly a network of confessional Lutherans being set up across Africa. It goes too slow, of course. If you think we in the past, three of our people received, went to have their postgraduate studies done in St. Louis and Fort Wayne. But three over 30 years is very little. We have at our seminary now got 10 in 10 years, which is considerably more, but still too slow, because there's such a demand for Lutheran training, which goes a bit deeper than just the superficiality of things. And so just getting to know the catechism properly is a challenge already. I think the cause, of course, is that we have not only individuals, but whole teams. If I think of one of my Congolese students who telephones home, telephone has changed things. We don't work so much with computers. My students all have a telephone where they phone their families back home. And then he takes this telephone on a weekly basis. The people back home pay for this. And then he preaches to the 300 to 500 people back home in the Congolese village, just because they want to hear their pastor, who is now going for extra training back home. And it shows things are changing, but still it's just this hunger for God's word, for proper distinction of law and gospel, and also for sacraments, where often they don't really know what this means. So many of these people have come into contact with Lutheranism through wars. They've been fleeing wars somewhere as refugees, and they call to this God who promised help in Jesus Christ, but they don't know much more than that. So sometimes it's also very superficial, as a prosperity gospel. If I follow this one, he will take care of all my troubles. And of course, we know that that is, does not work like that. The way to the promised land is through 40 years of wilderness, etc. And so there's a lot of temptation on the way as well, a need for serious preaching. And I think Missouri and our friends in your church have really this gift of good, solid preaching, which helps our people. And I think the radio is a way, but also broadcast to the seminary, where we can hear and share in the good gifts which God has given to His church worldwide.
Folks, you can find out more about Lutheran Theological Seminary in South Africa under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Dr. Wilhelm Weber is rector of Lutheran Theological Seminary in Pretoria, South Africa. Dr. Weber, thank you very much for your time.
It's a pleasure, sir.
After the break, the Reformation is often accused of killing beauty, that is, removing from the church's life and ultimately from the culture's life the idea of transcendent beauty. We'll try and correct that view as we talk about Martin Luther on beauty with Dr. Mark Mattis, Associate Professor of Religion and Philosophy at Grandview University and author of several books, including Martin Luther's Theology of Beauty, A Reappraisal, after the break.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Lutheran. It's not a label, it's a confession. You're listening to Issues Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performance Fitness 618.com.